Samadhi Sutta, the discourse on right view. Thus have I heard on one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Savatthi in Jetha's grove, Anathapindika's path. The Venerable Sariputta addressed the bhikkhus thus, friend. Venerable Sariputta said this, one of the right view is said, friend, in what way is a noble disciple, one of right view, whose view is straight, who has perfect confidence in the Dhamma and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Indeed, friend, we would come from far away to learn from the Venerable Sariputta the meaning of this statement. It would be good if the Venerable Sariputta would explain the meaning of this statement. Having heard it from him, the bhikkhus will remember it. Then, friend, listen and attend carefully, closely to what I shall say. Yes, friend, the bhikkhu replied, the Venerable Sariputta said this. When, friend, a noble disciple understand the unwholesome root of the unwholesome, the wholesome, and the root of the wholesome, in that way he is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has perfect confidence in the Dhamma and has arrived at this true Dhamma. So we are talking about kusal and nakusal over here. And what, friend, is the unwholesome? What is the root of unwholesome? Kusala and kusala? Akusala and akusala mula. What is the wholesome and what is the root of wholesome? Kusala and kusala mula. Killing living beings is unwholesome. Taking what is not given is unwholesome. Misconduct in sensual pleasure is unwholesome. False speech is unwholesome. Malicious speech is unwholesome. Harsh speech is unwholesome. Gossip is unwholesome. Covetousness is unwholesome. Ill will is unwholesome. Wrong view is unwholesome. This is called unwholesome. So you can see this. We have this dasa akusal over here. 10 kind of bad conducts and bad things. And what is the root of unwholesome? Greed is a root of the unwholesome. Hate is a root of unwholesome. Delusion is a root of the unwholesome. This is called the root of the unwholesome. So just to, this discourse has to be done very carefully and with greater detail from the other discourses. And just to understand this lobha, dosa, moha, that akusal, and Petakopadesa actually give a description of this, what are these lobha, dosa, moha, is. And we will just look at briefly what it is. Then here in what is greed as a root of unprofit, unwholesome. What is called greed is any greed, greediness, wish, infatuation, aspiration, relish, cleaving, not giving up with regard to others' land, others' material, others' places, others' belonging, others' chattels. This is the greed of root of unprofitable. So what is the root of, what is it the root of? It is the root of greed-born, unprofitable, bodily, verbal and mental actions. Kaya, vachi, mano, sankara. Is the root of that one. And for the chitta chaitasika, cognizance and cognizance concomitants. And what is hate as a root of unprofit? It is annoyance with creatures, impatience, irritation, ill will, hatred, desire for harm, resistance of the heart. This is hate as root of unprofit. What is the root of? It is the root of hate-born, unprofitable, bodily, verbal and mental action.
What is the resistance of?
That means that someone is actually, troubling you, and you don't, from the heart, you don't resist that particular thing. You fight, harm the other person. You're not tolerating it. So that sort of thing. And so again, the root is this hate is the root of hate-born, unprofitable, bodily, verbal, and mental actions, killing, that sort of thing. Hearing what is delusion as a root of unprofit? It is the non-actualizing of the Four Noble Truth. Non-apprehending by entering upon non-penetration of them. And it is delusion. Deluding, confusing, ignorance, gloom, dark, obstruction, hindrance, covering up, concealing, none arrival at verification regarding profitable ideas. This is delusion as root of unprofit. So this one is actually a root for again the delusion born verbal, mental and bodily actions and the mental concomitant. One important thing later on is mentioned in again. So normally we have lobha dosa moha, right? So moha, some people sort of take it as ignorance. Moha and ignorance, there's a slight difference between that one. And there is this lobha, greed, and tanna, craving. There is a subtle difference between the two as well. Okay, so over here, ignorance, which is marked and gloom, has the characteristic of non-penetration. Its footing is the perversions, vipallasa. Footing is the perversions, mean that from what this one is actually occurring. So when we have vipallasa, you know, the whatever thing that is impermanent, we take this as permanent. And whatever thing suffering, we take as sukha, you know, pleasing. Whatever thing that is not self, we take it as self. So that sort of thing, because of that one, this ignorance occur. So ignorance has a characteristic of mark and bloom. It has the characteristic of non-penetration. It's not penetrating into this one. So the suffering is actually not seen. Craving has the characteristic of cleaving to. Its footing is dear, likable form. Priya rupa, sata rupa, madura rupa in Pali. So craving has the characteristic of cleaving means tanha is ajosana lakkana, tanha. In Sinhala, it says, Trusnava basagina gilagina sitimi lakshana. Priya sabhava, madura sabhava, ita pradaktane, asana karani. Then, greed has the characteristic of converting to one's own bias. Its footing is taking what is not given, adatta dana. Because of adatta dana, we have this the greed. And so, if you think about this one a little bit, I actually got a really good example that I thought of. This, you see the craving, how the craving arises, we see a beautiful form, some sort of form. Because of that particular form, that craving arises. Because like and dislike is arising up with that one. So there is a craving. But the greed or the lobha, so the craving has the characteristic of cleaving to. We hold it to that one. The greed has the characteristic of converting to one's own bias. One's own bias is actually in... this Pali is actually called Atma se vancha kirim. Atma se vancha kirim. So you can see that having seen some sort of a form, one would sort of get craving. Having, I can actually take one example. You know, the Buddha did not allow monks to have salt. Salt, keep inside the you know, the temple or whatever thing it is. So I remember one monk was actually saying, problem, just keeping the salt, you know, over here. So he sort of, you can see, normally we don't cling into salt, right? But we have this greedy nature for that particular one, that it was not allowed, it's not allowed for him. You know, he is happy to he is converting the rule for his own benefit. So the English wording over here, converting to one knows bias. He is biased towards that one. He is converting that one to it's his bias. So you can see that sort of difference. Hate has the characteristic of quarreling here. Its footing is killing breathing things. So the panagate, you know, by killing those things, then the hate is coming out of that one. Delusion has the characteristic of mistheorizing about an object. Its footing is the wrong theory. So having the wrong theory, we theorize. So that's the delusion. So we will come back to this one, and we have to come back to the one again when we actually talk about the alobha, adosa, moha. So this is the bad part we are actually talking about for you. And then Venerable Sariputta is talking, and what is the wholesome? Abstention from killing living beings is wholesome. Abstention from taking what is not given is wholesome. Abstention from misconduct in sensual pleasure is wholesome. Abstention from false speech is wholesome. Abstention from malicious speech is wholesome. Abstention from harsh speech is wholesome. Abstention from gossip is wholesome. Non-covetousness is wholesome. Non-ill will is wholesome. Right view is wholesome. This is called the wholesome. So we sort of know about non-covetousness, non-ill will, and right view, right? Okay, now, so next. And what is the root of the wholesome? And non-greed is a root of the wholesome. Non-hate is a root of the wholesome. Non-delusion is a root of the wholesome. This is called the root of the wholesome. Now that we are talking about alobha, adosa, amoha over here. Now let's look at what is this alobha, adosa, amoha according to this Petakopadesa. So herein, what is non-greed as a root of profit? It is non-greed about any element. Non-greediness, unwishing, unaspiration, unwanting, uncleaving. This is the non-greed as a root of profit. And what is it the root of? This is the important part. It is the root of non-greed born profitable bodily, verbal and mental action, and of cognizance and cognizant concomitant ideas associated therewith. So you can see the akusala mula, that lobha dosa moha, has got that it is actually the root for those bad bodily verbal actions. Here the non-greed is actually the profitable bodily verbal and mental action. And it goes further, or alternatively, since the noble eightfold path is called the profitable, that is the wholesome, this non-greed is the root of three path factors. Of what three? Of right intention, that is right thought, right effort, and right concentration. Think about it. Now when we actually talk about this alobha, that it is the root of the right thought, right effort, and right concentration. For right thought, what we do in right thought, we actually thought of renunciation. So non-greed is the root for thought of renunciation, giving up. And again, right effort, we have effort to discard the evil that has arisen, effort to prevent arising of the unarising evil. So the bad things we are not letting come. Whatever thing there is bad within us, we give it up. So non-greed has that particular, it is a root for those three. And then the concentration, you can see that we suppress five hindrances. Kama, chanda, vyapada, teenavid. So we actually get rid of those bad ones as well. So that one is actually the alobha is the root of samma sankappa, samma vayama, samma samadhi. And herein, what is the, so it says that is why it is called the root of profit. And here, what is non-hate as root of profit? Any unannoyance, non-resistance, non-ill-willing, non-ill-will, non-hate, loving-kindness, kindly loving, desire for good, desire for welfare, confidence of heart with respect to creatures or determinations is non-hate as a root of profit. And what is it the root of? It is the root of non-hate born profitable bodily, verbal, mental action, and for cognizance and cognizance concomitant ideas associated therewith. Or alternatively, it is the root of three path factors, again, of which three? Right speech, right action, right livelihood. So you can see the adosa is the root for the sila, virtue factors in the eightfold path. Herein, what is non-delusion? As a profitable root, any knowing seen with respect to the four noble truth, how they come to be, and actualizing, apprehending by entering upon penetration, non-delusion, non-confusion, science displaying light, non-obstruction of initiate profitable ideas. This is non-delusion as a root of profit. What is it the root of? Again, it is the root of that bodily, verbal, and mental actions. And alternatively, It is the root of two path factors. Of which two? Of right view and right mindfulness. The right view has the wisdom, and the right mindfulness actually is the one telling that this one is actually occurring. This is the arising phenomena, this is the passing away phenomena. And this is the object, this is how it arises, this is how it passes away. So that's the aloba. Aloba is the root of that one. Now if you understand this one, you know, these three roots, and three roots actually produces these eight factors, then you can see the right view is actually understood, because the right view is inside this particular one. So that's how this linking coming from. This is the right view. Okay, so we know about the right view, about the Four Noble Truth as the right view. And this is another right view, because this, from this it originates and supports and holds. So this discourse is very heavy. One has to read it actually carefully in that sense. When a noble disciple has thus understood the unwholesome, the root of the unwholesome, the unwholesome, the root of the wholesome, he entirely abandons the underlying tendency to lust. He abolishes the underlying tendency to aversion. He extirpates the underlying tendency to view and conceit, I am. And by abandoning ignorance and arousing true knowledge, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, to a noble disciple, he is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has perfect confidence in the Dhamma and has arrived at this true Dhamma. So, evam akusalam pajanati, evam akusalam moolam pajanati, evam kusalam pajanati, evam kusalam moolam pajanati. So, sabbaso raganusaya pahaya, patiganusaya, pati vinodetva, asmiti, dittimanusaya, samutya, avijja pahaya, vijjam uppaditva, ditva. So this one actually, that his view is actually straight view, having this view that this is actually, it is the understanding of the Four Noble Truth in coming on that way. And then we go to the nutriment, saying, good friend, the bhikkhu delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's word. Then they ask him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friend. When friend, a noble disciple understands the nutriment, the origin of nutriment, the cessation of nutriment, and the way leading to the cessation of nutriment, in that way, he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is the nutriment? What is the origin of nutriment? What is the cessation of nutriment? What is the way leading to the cessation of nutriment? There are these four kinds of nutriment for the maintenance of being and have already come to be, and for the support of those seeking new existence. What for? They are physical food as nutriment, gross or subtle, contact as second, mental volition as the third, the consciousness as the fourth. With the arising of craving, there is a arising of nutriment. With the cessation of craving, there is a cessation of nutriment. The way leading to cessation of nutriment is just the Noble Eightfold Path. That is right view, right in thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So again, Venerable Sariputta repeated that statement. When someone understands these things, then the greed, underlying tendency to greed, he abolishes all those aversion, extirpate the underlying tendency to view and conceit, I am. And so you can remember that we discussed this four paths, starting with the edible food for the nutriment. Starting with the nutriment, we actually get this asrava, the taint of sensual desire, from the edible food. And in the second direction, we know that the contact has nutriment, and then there is this perversion, that there is a pleasure in the painful. So there is this taint of being, bhavasava. And then in the third direction, that is the volition, mind volition as the food. Then there is this dityasava, that is the taint of view. And then the fourth part, consciousness as nutriment, there is this taint of ignorance, avijjasava. So if someone understands these four food and its origin and is the cessation, then it's the right view. So he actually get rid of this astral out of those things. So they are related over here. So starting with that one, you can see there are these 10 things in each path. So that's the coming to the understanding of the same right view. And then four noble truths. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhu delighted and rejoiced the venerable Sariputta's words, then asked him further question. But friend, might there be another way in which noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friend. When friend, a noble disciple understands suffering, origin of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the way leading to the cessation of suffering, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is suffering? What is the origin of suffering? What is the cessation of suffering? What is the way leading to the cessation of suffering? Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair are suffering. Not to obtain what one wants is suffering. In short, five aggregates affected by clinging are suffering. This is called suffering. And origin of suffering, it is craving which bring renewal of being. Is accompanied by delight and lust, and delights in this and that. That is craving for sensual pleasure, craving for being, that is bhava tanha, craving for non-being, vibhava tanha. This is called the origin of suffering. And what is the cessation of suffering? It is the remainderless fading away and ceasing, the giving up, relinquishing, letting go and rejecting of the same craving. This is called the cessation of suffering. And what is the way leading to the cessation of suffering? It is just this noble eightfold path. Right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So if someone understands this one, then he has actually attained the... So you can see that each one of these are equivalent. You know, this way, right view attaining from this way, and right view by understanding this three, lobha dosha moha, you know, and understanding the four edible food and the origin and the passing away of that one, and so they are all equal. And then the second one, next one is the aging and death. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhu delighted and rejoiced when in the venerable Sariputta's words. Then they ask him a further question, but friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friend. When, friend, a noble disciple understands aging and death, the origin of aging and death, the cessation of aging and death, and the way leading to the cessation of aging and death, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at a true Dhamma. That is this Jaramaran. So, what is aging and death? What is the origin of aging and death? What is the cessation of aging and death? What is the way leading to the cessation of aging and death? The aging of beings in the various orders of beings, their old age, brokenness of teeth, grayness of hair, wrinkling of skin, decline of life, weakness of faculties. This is called aging. So, that is this jati, jara, vyadi, marana, all those things that we are actually discussing over here. So now we are talking about the aging part, where that you know, having a broken teeth and you know, wrinkling of body and all those things. So the passing of beings out of the various orders of being, they are passing away, dissolution, disappearance, dying. Completion of time, dissolution of aggregates, laying down of the body, this is called death. So the aging and death are what is called aging and death. So the aging described before, death described second. So both. With the arising of birth, there is the arising of aging and death. With the cessation of birth, there is the cessation of aging and death. The way leading to cessation of aging and death is just the eightfold path. That is the right due to right concentration. So again, that's the another understanding. So you can see If someone is not actually being born, then there won't be any aging and death. So, and with the cessation of the birth, comes the cessation of this aging and death. And birth, saying, good friend, the bhikkhu delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's word, then they ask him further question. So whether there is another way to attain this the right way. So Venerable Sariputta said, yes, there might be. And what is birth? So when a noble disciple understand birth, origin of birth, cessation of birth, and the way leading to the cessation of both birth, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. So what is the birth? What is the origin of birth? What is the cessation of birth? What is the way leading to the cessation of birth? The birth of being into the various orders of beings. They are coming to birth, precipitation in womb, generation, manifestation of the aggregates, obtained in the basis for contact. This is called birth. With the arising of being, there is the arising of birth. With the cessation of being, there is the cessation of birth. The way leading to the cessation of birth is just Noble Eightfold Path. That is right to you, to right concentration. So if someone understands this one, then again he understands the is of the right view. And the next one is bhava, being. Say, good friends, so then ask whether there is another way to understand this one. And then Venerable Sariputta said that when a noble disciple understand being, the origin of being, the cessation of being, and the way leading to the cessation of being, in that way he is of one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. So, and what is being, bhava? What is the origin? And what is cessation? So, there are these three kinds of being. The sensible being, that is this kama bhava. The fine material being, that is rupa bhava. And the immaterial being, arupa bhava. With the arising of clinging, there is the arising of being. With the cessation of clinging, there is the cessation of being. The way leading to the cessation of being is just that this Noble Eightfold Path. Upadana. Upadana nirodho, bhava nirodho. Upadana samudhyo, bhava samudhyo. Ayamimaryo attangiko maggo, bhava nirodho gamini patipada. So if someone understand that, then he is actually of the right view. So you can see that every part in paticchasamuppada, dependent origination, every link, you know, how we arrive at one link, what is the link? At this particular, let's say, power. So, what is this origination? What is the cessation? What is the path leading to the cessation of that one? That is the right view. So, that's why I'm saying, if you are actually meditating through the Eightfold Path or in something, by some means, if you see that you actually now contemplating about the inside the paticchasamuppada, the dependent origination, that is because of the correct view is formed. Why, wherever you actually contemplate about this or noble truth or whatever it is, you basically go into the other ones as well. Because that right view is equivalent. It's like that, you know, to Mount Siripada, you are climbing from Ratnapura or climbing from somewhere else. The path does not matter. You come from this way, but the end result is the same. So, so if you happen to know that you are actually contemplating on the paticchasamuppada while you are contemplating on something else, you can assume you are in the right track. And then the next one is clinging, saying, good friend, the bhikkhu delighted by rejoice and rejoice the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they ask further question that whether there is another view. So in this case, Venerable Sariputta says that if someone understand clinging, origin of clinging, the cessation of clinging, and the way leading to the cessation of clinging, in that way he is of one of right view. That is this upadana, kama upadana, ditya upadana, silapati upadana, atvadu upadana. So we have this sense desires, and then because of the sense desires that we actually get this upadana, we attach it to very heavily, we hold it very heavily. So you can see this one is actually happening from that this the edible food, ahara, as this thing. And then this vipallasa is coming up, asubha, asubha. And then, so then therefore this karma, karma asava, that is this desires coming up, and then that it become, you are holding to it, upadana. So, and then the other parts, ditti upadana, sila putupadana, attavad upadana, all are coming from that four edible food. So if someone understand this this thing, how this...
But the desire is there, otherwise people wouldn't do it.
Yes. But you see that they're going through the first path, going through the first path, edible food, and then there is this desire, karma, chanda is there. They become upadana. Now you are happy. Now you are happy, you are holding to it, and when you see something, that you are happy to see such thing. But something will happen now. Either you get, you become blind, or the other person that you are looking at is, you know, angry, sort of thing. Or a bomb will blast somewhere, and you know, the whole of your the feelings get shattered. Right? Now you are going to anger. So you are going through the second path. But first path made you clinging to these things. Having got this first path, this one is fine. Desire is fine. You are actually going through the second path. If the first path was not there, that is craving was not there, then the second path is not there for you. You know, the greed, for example, is bigger. Greed is bigger. That it has sort of grown quite a lot. The craving can arise as having seen something, some food, let's say, right? You have seen something that you are interested about, so you can have sort of craving. Or having seen someone beautiful, you might get some sort of craving over there. But it can pass away very quickly as well. But when it comes to greed, that you actually, you want that food, I want it. I'm thoroughly grasping it. I go to the shop, buy it. Or I make at home, I cook it and eat it. So, the description we just run past, that it covers it very well. It says that you are actually, it's others belonging and, you know, whatever these things, you are actually holding. So, it has sort of grown. Craving be sort of maybe light. And so passing through that upadana level, ajosa, and so you actually become greedy and have the desire. But if you look at the present translations, some people translate that the craving as desire as well. So there is that confusion can. Here, but I am talking about the tanha and lobha. Lobha is heavy. And so now this upadana we discussed, then they have this craving. And so again, if we look at the craving part, what is craving? What is the origin of craving? What is the cessation of craving? What is the way leading to cessation of craving? There are these six classes of craving. Craving for forms, craving for sounds, craving for odors, craving for flavors, craving for tangible, craving for mind object. With the arising of feeling, there is the arising of craving. With the cessation of feeling, there is the cessation of craving. So you can see the craving arises because of the feeling. The way leading to the cessation of craving is just the Noble Eightfold Path. This is the right view, to right to concentration. So, what are these tanna? Rupa tanna, sadda tanna, gandha tanna, rasa tanna, puttabha tanna, dhamma tanna. So, vedana samudhyo, tanna samudhyo, vedana nirodho, tanna nirodho. I know this one is very heavy. Okay, if you actually read it for the first time, you can see it's a lot to take over here by going through that one. Well, only way is to understand. Keep reading it many times, so then you can actually remember it. That's number one, and number two, you understand a bit of it. And that the first one that I described about this lobha dosa moha, akusala kusala, that one is actually really big thing. It's a really big thing in the sense that it is sort of You see, the Buddha said that sabba papa sakarana kusalasya upasampada satitta pariyodapana buddhanu sasana, all Buddhas. So Buddha is asking one to develop this kusala, wholesome states, get rid of the unwholesome things. And that's the advice given by every Buddha. So you can see, we need to develop kusala, the whole thing. What we actually do is depending on these wholesome things, kusala. And you can see, with our first discussion about this kusala, that is the whole eightfold path is kusala. The roots, aloba, adosa, amoha. And this one is going further and further. Further and further it is going there. It's sort of, I must admit, it was so difficult for me to understand until recently that the Eightfold Path, it is such powerful thing. It is that how the kusala, you know, the discourses by discourses, when you look at, Buddha is talking about develop these skill states of the mind. Kusala, Buddha is talking about those kusala. Because that Buddha knows how it is. Until you actually read this particular part, you don't get this one. You know, this samma ditti, samma sankappa, samma vacha. How come the samma vacha, samma kamma, samma ajiva? You know, Buddha is even saying the ordering of that one. Buddha says from the right thought. The right view, right thought arises. Right thought proceeds from the right view. So you get the right view first. And from the right view, there is right thought. From the right thought, the right speech. And from the right speech, right action. So it goes in that order as well. If you think yourself how it is, it's so difficult to, you know, understand how from this one I get this one. From the right view, right thought, you will understand. Because the right view has got this suffering. Suffering is created by craving. And this is the cessation of craving comes the cessation of suffering. So one would actually see that this craving, because of the craving I have this trouble. So then best thing is to give up craving. So then may come, thought of renunciation comes. So you can see the right thought proceeds from the right view. But how about the right speech? Why I am not doing harsh speech, frivolous talks and all those things? How it comes from the other one? So you can see sort of thought of renunciation, thought of non-harm, thought of non-malevolence, so I'm not going to be angry, so therefore I don't want to have this harsh speech, right? But the not lying, for example. Why we don't lie? So these will explain in this way, that this is the root of this thing. And the skill states arises when you have those sila. Virtue. So virtue is the actual basis for arising of the aloba, adosa, moha. So it goes both ways. And, so the next one is about the feeling. So, and what is feeling? What is the origin of feeling? What is the cessation of feeling? What is the way leading to the cessation of feeling? So this is another, the right view. There are these six classes of feeling. Feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, feeling born of nose contact, feeling born of tongue contact, feeling born of body contact, feeling born of mind contact. With the arising of contact, there is arising of feeling. With the cessation of contact, there is the cessation of feeling. Think about it. Do we ever get any feeling without, if there is no contact? We get the eye, there is a form. And then there is this eye consciousness. Meeting of the three is called contact. If there is no contact, there won't be any feeling. So if the contact ceases, feeling ceases. And it's quite deep, you know, when you actually think about it. So what kind of feelings that we have? This chakku sampassa vedana, sota sampassa vedana, gana sampassa vedana, jivva sampassa vedana, kaya sampassa vedana, mano sampassa vedana. Pasa samudayo, vedana samudayo, pasa nirodho, vedana nirodho, ayamivari vattangi komaggo, vedana nirodha gamini patipada. So again, this contact, regarding this contact. So, do you want me to go through the whole thing, or is it too much?
I think better this one.
Yeah, yeah. I think we go through so we actually started about the contact. So, sixfold base and the other part.